It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Blindly Obvious, it's clear as can.
The Blindly Obvious podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. All views expressed on this show do not constitute professional advice. We make no representation or warranties regarding the accuracy, completeness, or applicability of the content we express. These are merely our opinions, and as such, we encourage everyone to form your own opinions.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff, and today we are on the conversation of terminal velocity. Things seem to be increasingly moving fast in our day-to-day lives. But as a nation perspective, does it kind of seem as though maybe we're moving rather quickly to something that I'm not even sure any of us have a clue of what the landing point is, or maybe a better way to put it is the crash point? Jeff?
It's not just our kids who are overstimulated by all of the different flashy screens, but it's information overload. And I'm looking outside right now. It's snowing. Did you know that? It's snowing today. Is that surprise snow? Like, was that in the forecast? But one of the things that we have that most people check every day, I stopped checking it because it's always wrong. But no, we're getting all this news and information, and sometimes it's right, but a lot of times it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. And we take it as it's right every time.
Yeah.
Like, this they got it right this time. I forgot about the last time they got it wrong.
But we're making our plans not just for our day, but for our entire life, be it retirement, whatever. Mm-hmm. Of this bogus information that in the end is going to leave us bankrupt and lost.
And it's easy to pick on the forecasters of the weather, yeah. But what about the forecasters of like every other industry or of kind of life in general?
We are in such a weird place. Remember, I think it was last year we were trying to guess, you know, what's 2026 going to be like? I think we did it for 2025 too. Is this how you imagined it?
I mean, maybe in some ways, but not in its entirety, no. And I think we have an addiction to prediction. Mm. We all suffer from it. Rather, we like to predict what's going to happen, or we are obsessively following somebody that we enjoy their predictions. Mm-hmm.
Their opinions, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true.
All in the same, in that we just take whatever we believe or what someone else tells us to believe as the gospel.
Yeah, where's my echo chamber? Come tell me.
Yeah, and it's for sure going to be exactly like I think it is or like this person says it is. More times than not, that's just not how it turns out.
Not at all. In fact, you know what it almost sounds like? It's that new age concept of manifestation where like you imagine the future outcome of whatever it is you want, and you sit there. Is that what it's called? They call it manifesting. What's mm-hmm. the other word for it? It's another word for it. But you are trying to attractional stuff. It's at the
law of attraction.
Law of attraction. That's what it is. That law of attraction where I'm going to think only happy thoughts and therefore only happy things will come my way. How's that working for you?
Yeah. It's just, not that it's a bad mindset to live in to think good thoughts and happy thoughts, but it's a false understanding to think that
work.
You're never going to, and some people do this with a Christian walk.
Right.
Oh, if I'm saved by God, I'm good from anything negative ever occurring to me.
I'm pretty sure tomorrow, like next week, like next month, like next year, short of Jesus coming back, the sun's going to come up in a consistent way like it has for as long as we've been keeping records. I am absolutely 100% certain of that. I can predict that. Not because I'm a Houdini or a prophet, just because I've observed the cycles. But we are in a weird place of such, I want to call it, you know, I think I saw the fastest stated vehicle, plane, jet, whatever it's called, Mach 9.6. I don't even know what that means. 7,000 miles per hour, I think. Something crazy. I can't imagine what that looks like.
Are we counting the Back to the Future car too? Or
yeah, well, I know. But the point is that things are moving so fast and so many pieces are moving at one time. It's hard for anybody on any one thing, be it precious metals to tensions overseas for war. Give me another one. Politically, where things are going to fall. Who's going to...
Almost feels like we're in Operation Warp Speed or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
crazy.
And if you go backwards just a few years, it's just everything is such... in such turmoil? Like it's tumultuous. You know, like in any situation, like in your car, it's difficult. When you're going slow, you can kind of take everything in and make sound decisions with a predictable outcome, preferred outcome. But the faster you move and the faster other pieces are moving, the greater likelihood you have of crashing.
I think in many ways, how we were told things are was incorrect. And how we were told things work is also incorrect.
Down to history and science, physics, math, there's some things that we're being taught that don't, it's more of a charade than it is right. A sharing of facts, mm-hmm. is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
The worst part about that, there are some things that are true, but even those past truths are no longer relevant to what we're facing moving forward.
Or, I mean, I think you could maybe even explain it as many things had truth in them.
Partial truths.
Yeah. And they may have been truth to you. Like it may have been passed on to you with good intention as like, hey, this is what I've known the truth to be. But that doesn't necessarily at the same time make it the truth, right?
Yeah.
That's a difficult separation for all of us.
Gosh, it's so super confusing because, okay, on top of this turning over of the way that things used to work, and that's not working anymore, to the charade being the curtain being pulled back and you're seeing Oz behind the curtain and he's not this all powerful, but he's this sweaty old man behind the curtain, you know, trying to keep the pedals moving. So that charade's gone. And then you've got this weird, and I'm not trying to be offensive when I say this, just so work with me on this, but there was a time when we put the mentally ill in institutions. Now, listen, horrific things, MK Ultra and things like that happened to some of these people because they weren't protected or even seen as valued members of our society or even human. When we turned them loose, I don't understand this, but somehow that mental illness became normalized in society. And so we began to morph the charade with facts, with imagined reality. And so now you've got this duality, if you will, of not just of truth, what truth is or what a lie is not. We've come to a place where people in the same conversation, one will say a man's a man and man can only be a man. And then somebody else says, no, a man can be a rabbit. And we kind of gave it a pass and allowed this, whatever you want to call it, I want to call it mental illness, become normalized.
I want to call it entirely intentional. I think this, I'll call it propaganda, has been infiltrated and passed into every stream of what was once conventional or tradition or pastime of our nation is bleeding with the same type of propaganda or ideology. And I just can't help but, like I said, call it intentional as a way to destroy what once was the founding basis and this the foundation of what made this a prosperous and great nation. How would you destroy that? You would destroy it from the inside out. And I think that is exactly what that type of thinking or ideology, propaganda, whatever you want to call it, I think that's exactly what that does.
Well, okay. I know there's already pushback, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the other position and say this. No, it was an accident. It's all accidental. But if it truly was accidental, we accidentally became like the movie Idiocracy. If we did, we should be capable, the best of us, especially in leadership, who can see predictably where this leads us and go, you know what? Where this takes us, we don't want to go. And there should be an about face change. Why isn't there?
The same people that brought you the movie Idiocracy are the same people who brought you this idea to begin with. They already told you where you were going, and we willingly followed. Predictive programming.
Terminal velocity, you know, for a human being, they say it's anywhere from, depending on your weight, 120 to 140 miles an hour. I think it was for a 200-pound male, which is close to what I am. It's 140. Either way, it's going to hurt when you hit the ground. We know what terminal velocity is for a human being. What is it for a nation?
Well, it's a lot heavier than 200 pounds, I can tell you that.
What is it they're saying? $1 trillion every 100 days that we're spending? That's what it was under Biden. Now it's the same thing under Trump?
Yeah.
It hasn't changed. We got a new face, but it hasn't changed in that regard. I'm not criticizing either one. I'm just saying a fact.
Sure.
That is a fact. I heard a rumor. I remember the old 80s song. I heard a rumor. I heard a rumor that here in Ohio, And I didn't dare call my insurance agent to find this out. I heard a rumor that if you drive on level 3 roads, not only can you be arrested if it's not truly an emergency, but if you get into a car accident, your insurance won't cover it. Is that true?
I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I did just, speaking of level 3 roads, my cousin, he works a county over from us, and he was driving, got to work because they had a level 3. Their job told him to come in. And a guy that he works with also was coming into work, was pulled over and got a $250 fine for driving during a level 3. And he said, well, I'm going to work. I was mandated to come in. And I said, well, sorry. And I'm just like, man, how is that on you? If I don't go in, I'm going to be doctored, be punished by my job.
Fired.
Sure,
fired.
Potentially.
Yeah.
And if I do go in, I'm going to be doctor punished by the legal system. So who do you submit yourself to in this setting?
Well, that's okay. That's kind of where I'm going with this. So we've got insurance to protect us in the event of an accident, right?
Yeah.
Whether we're talking cars or health or house. I just heard that one of my family members, their house burned to the ground yesterday. And it's like, oh gosh. But you have insurance to cover these things. What insurance do we have with what we're doing right now with our nation and with our world? And what assurances do we have? Or are we just flying blind, so to speak, blindly, you know, blindly going at Mach speed, terminal velocity?
We're doing that one.
Into what?
We're flying blindly at very fast speed without insurance.
I can't tell you with all certainty what's going to happen tomorrow, or let alone today. But I can see very much so, like with the sun coming up and down, that the trajectory is not good for us.
Total theorizing here. I have no proof of this. Nothing, yeah. By any means. Just speculation on my behalf.
Educated guesses.
Is, I think if it ends the way the same people who led us in this direction would have it end, I think it ends in some form of a civil war.
Yeah, that's what I'm really concerned about. I think we're already there. It's just not the way we think of a civil war is going to happen.
Kinetically. Like,
both sides have made up their mind in such a way that they may as well say, I have made up my forever mind on this with incomplete facts.
Right.
And most of what I believe is true, I've imagined, and this is my position, and I refuse to change it no matter what you say or show me.
And can't take the step back to say, like, man, I may believe a little bit of this based on some speculative ideas right. that I have, or some theories that kind of make sense for me to connect the dots, but not at the same time be able to say that, to say like, man, this is just my own speculation. I can't wholeheartedly concrete prove that this is what's true.
Well, you got people who are not just using harsh language in the streets right, literally in the streets right now, threatening violence and death on people who are so incredibly confident, but it's mostly based on arrogance and ignorance.
Yeah.
And it's on both sides. It's not one side or the other. It's both sides.
Sure. How about this? We have this big new files release, right?
Yeah.
Which has been slowly kind of,
right.
Seems like the faucet's been dripping for a little while, and each time the drops get a little bit bigger.
Trickled out.
Yeah. Well, so many people just rage bait, scroll posts, you know, like, oh, I'm on this side of the fence, so I'm going to post about these people who are involved. And then you got somebody else who says, oh, I'm on this side of the fence, so I'm only going to post about these people who are involved. And in totality, once again, just like you just said, everybody's making up their own conclusions and assumptions based on, I saw one email from this, so I know these people are completely guilty no matter what.
I've made up my mind. I need to go find some facts to support what I already believe happened.
When in reality, we really don't know.
Mm-mm.
And to that extent, like you also just said about the right and wrong and the justice, like, what are we going to do? Are we just going to say, oh, well, these people were involved and we're mad about it on the internet, and then that's the end of it? Like, is that actually any form of accountability?
I know that this is probably a different way of talking about the current issues that we're facing, but I think that it's one that I don't care what side you're on any position. It's one that we can all do some introspective, I don't know, examination about ourselves and what we believe and why, and the influences that are shaping our ethos, our belief system of the world and how it functions. I think we've all got to dial back the emotion that we've been, how do you say this? We're being steered toward of just that hostility. Because if we don't, I really do believe we're going to come unglued as a nation.
I think a great way to explain it is from a biblical sense. Even if you look at the story of Exodus, like Pharaoh refuses to let the people go. And the moment they're let go and Moses turns his back, the people are down worshiping a golden calf. We have a natural desire to worship. We're going to worship something.
Yeah.
We just tend to put that worship continuously through cycles of patterns in the wrong direction. We fail to put it in the proper place in which it belongs, and that is to God and to God alone. We'll make idols out of anything. And God wants to free us from those idols. He does. And then we either run right back to that idol or run to a brand new one instead of being like, hey, maybe I should give my worship to the one that just freed me from my wrongful worship.
We have fallen for the initial fall. If you eat this whatever, you can become God yourself. In other words, you can take God's seat. You can become God. And I think that's where we are today. And what we've done is, it used to be we were putting some other deity or monetary or stuff or food, whatever it was, on the throne that only God alone should have. But today what we've done is we've put ourselves on there.
Yeah, that's fair. Really, that very initial story in the beginning, you have Satan convincing Eve to do exactly what he did, right?
Right.
He did that same same thing. Hey, right. I want to be on that throne. Who are you?
Right.
And was obviously cast out of heaven for it. So then what does he do? Spends his time convincing man of the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's a repeating cycle. And I think we're there. And I think the hard part now for many of us with our self-love, self-care, self-everything, self-serve, is that it's much easier to dethrone some abstract idol than it will be to dethrone yourself.
And once again, that is a great... Those who, as we just talked about a little bit ago, those who have figured out through study and research, and maybe they've had this information much longer than we give credit for, but to manipulate the mind, have realized how to take advantage of those exact patterns or faults in human beings. We have that natural propensity to put ourselves in the place we don't belong, or put something in a place it doesn't belong. And we've been steered into doing just that through all the things you just said, self this, self that. As a result, it never ends well, right? It always ends destructively. There are patterns of it all throughout the scriptures.
I think that you have a very hard case to make that where we've ended up as a nation is accidental. I think it's much easier. What is it, Occam's razor? It's much easier to see how this was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
So, spooky part, what if this wasn't man steering us, but Satan?
At a higher level.
Yeah, much higher. Now, I'm not saying he's not using men, willing men.
Sure.
But
that's, I mean, once again, if you take the patterns of the scripture, that's exactly what happens every time.
Yeah.
So why would we think that we would be any different?
To me, the frightening part, this once Christian nation has become a willing participant. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about not just, you know, oh, well, you used to be a Christian nation. And we were. And I recognize that we've got people who are still trying to bring us back to that. Get it. But it's almost like, if you look at the version of what they're calling Christian, it is not biblical.
Sure. Well, I mean, we even have clear pattern contrasts, right? If we take the story of Nineveh, where, you know, Jonah didn't want to go there. I don't think those people should be saved. They're terrible. And God spared all of them because they all repented. They all changed their ways and went back to the way they should be living. Then we have the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, where basically, who was it, Abraham? No, Lot is talking, God, what if just 10 people in this entire place are righteous? I'll spare the whole place.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't find it. You couldn't find one righteous person. So the whole place was destroyed.
Yeah, I forget. And what we need to do as a nation is what's already been done before. There was a period in the Old Testament where generationally the people did what was right in their own eyes, and they kept getting further and further and further from God. And I forget which king it was, but basically they rediscovered God in the Bible, and they began reading it together. They would have assemblies where everyone would come together, and somebody would read from the scroll. And it's like they just went all the way back through and reinstated law and justice and righteousness according to what God has said, not according to how we feel.
Yeah, I mean, can we see our nation in that pattern?
I hope. I think that's the way out of this.
100%. It's the only way out of this. Once again, it's been proven all throughout the scriptures. What's cool about the scriptures is it doesn't always give you the feel, oh man, this feels good. This is a happy, it isn't always a happy ending. That's not always how it ends. And the stories, obviously, the entirety of the story is a happy ending.
Right.
If you so choose. But I think this is as in depth as we want to take it and as simple as we want to make it.
What we really need is not just a national repentance, but we need an individual repentance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All of us have played a, even if we make the argument, you know, we've been steered in this direction, the case in point is that we willingly followed. Yeah. Maybe misled, but we still willingly followed.
Remember, Satan doesn't come revealing who he truly is. He comes as an angel of light. Could it be that some of the people that we're following, we think they are leading us to God, but they're actually leading us further to Satan and the demise of our nation, sure, and even ourselves? Compare whatever counsel you're getting, not to how you feel and not to what you want, but to what the Word of God says.
It says, right. Well, it is a living Word, right?
It is.
And what's, I mean, look at the exposure of many large congregational leaders,
right,
are being exposed seemingly right and left right now. Why is that? I think it plays right into what you just described. And as much as things may seem chaotic or in turmoil, some of these things are being removed as, I think, what were once idols are being torn down. And I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
As much as it never feels good to have sandpaper rubbed across your skin, when the job is finished, you go, oh, wow, that's a, we needed that.
Well, just like I don't belong on the throne in my own life, your preacher, as a pastor, I'm saying this, your preacher doesn't belong on your throne either.
Sure.
It's God alone.
To some extent, that's not entirely your preacher's fault. Sometimes people just put that person there.
Correct. As a placeholder instead of God, and they think that that person, you know,
my preacher's cool. He's got this. He's leading all of us. So if he's cool, we're cool. Yeah, right? We don't got to do anything. He's doing it.
He's my local pope, you know.
To where, like, your preacher is here to give you a convicting word to help you better understand the word. But ultimately, it is entirely on you for your salvation and to have a personal relationship with God.
Yeah, if your preacher isn't a preacher of God's word, he's not a herald of God. He is a herald of hell.
And I think there may be more out there in that regard than we would like to acknowledge or admit.
People get back to Christ, and listen, the church is part of that. But you need to find a church that is preaching the word of God, not this happy, feely, hopey, whatever stuff.
And I say all that to say that I just said, if that's in the church, by default, man, it's everywhere else. If it can infiltrate the church, why would it not also be infiltrating every other agency that's been made by man?
Right.
This is God's, the church.
Right.
All these other agencies or organizations, those are all made by man. So why would they not be infiltrated?
I think this is as applicable of a promise and a warning as it's ever been. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, if my people called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, that's God speaking here, turn, by the way, from their wicked ways, God promises he will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. And I think that's where we are, and it's the answer, as you said before, it's that simple and it's that hard.
Because it's obviously not easy, right, to just Oh, I'll give up everything I'm doing that's wicked.
That I'm enjoying.
Yeah.
Because it is fun.
Sure.
It satisfies. If it didn't
bring you pleasure, you wouldn't do it.
Exactly.
Sure. But it also doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should.
Heroin, I understand, feels real good, but you're killing yourself.
What's your form of heroin, basically?
Right. Mm-hmm. So, turn. But don't just turn to something. Turn to God.
This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
Past the signs each day, in little things missed along the way, the symbols hidden in glamour's light, blindly obvious, but out of sight. Direction, the magician's lie, a trick so good you don't ask why. The truth, it sits with open arms, but we fool ourselves with deception's charm. Oh, I can see it. The roads lead back to